And yesterday at the prayer meeting, our new secretary reminded me this was my last message. Now, I don't know if I was getting the sack, or somebody said, "Do you know something I don't know?" And I was asking him, "Do you know something I don't know either?" Anyway, I think what he was getting at was, I won't be here next week because I'm out with my daughter for the day, and for the next few weeks after that, I'll be getting ready for going away. Some of you might have heard that I'm going away. I haven't meant too much of a notice about it, but it's only 28 days. No, I'm not counting anything like that. But now, what I wanted to do this morning, I was looking back when I was sitting down this week, thinking about this morning. I was looking back over the past few months, and I was thinking, well, how can I summarize? I think God's had a bit of a theme looking at the subjects I was talking about. How can I summarize it? And as I was thinking about it, I got one word: surrender. That was the word which God put in my heart over the last couple of days to talk about this morning. Surrender. And then I thought, well, okay, let's look up what the word surrender means. And surrender, I saw a couple of definitions, means to abandon oneself entirely or giving control of something to someone else. Giving control of something to someone else. And this morning, I just want to highlight a few things which I believe God is calling us as Christians to look at and to do. And I believe that this word surrender is a key. Is the key to our Christian life. Key as individuals and church as churches. And I believe it completely illustrates our relationship with Jesus Christ. Surrender is a word which absolutely reflects that relationship. Now, surrender is usually considered to be negative. If you say something about surrender, it can often be considered a very negative term. You know, we talk about surrendering after war and defeat. It means defeat and giving up. And people say they surrendered their advantage in the game and that sort of stuff. So it's really sort of a pretty negative thing. But I think as Christians, we need to look at this word as being an incredibly positive word. It's a wonderful word because I believe it leads to closer relationships with Jesus. It leads to the abundant life which he's promised us. It brings freedom and it brings empowerment for us to live the life that Jesus wants us to live. So surrendering is a very positive thing. And that word, the definition I got, giving control of something to someone else, is giving control of ourselves to someone else, Jesus Christ. And I believe God is challenging us as individuals and as a church to surrender. Just surrender. And the question which came to my mind when I was thinking about this was, and it's a question which everything I'm saying is posing it to myself as well, are we surrendered? Are we surrendered? You might say, hang on, I'm a Christian. I've surrendered my life to Jesus. How dare you ask me that question? Of course I've surrendered. Well, I'm very pleased to hear that. That's really great. The question I want to ask is slightly different. Are we surrendered Christians? I believe there is a bit of a difference. And the difference is how we live our Christian life. And I was reading a quote by Francis Chan, who's a person who is not renowned for his subtlety. He's very pointed and blunt. And he said, "Have you asked Jesus to join you on your life's journey, or are you following him as he has commanded you to live? Have you asked Jesus to join you on your life's journey, or are you following him as he has commanded?" And I think it's, as I say it sometimes, is our Christian life an add-on to our life, or is it a lifestyle? I want to look at some of the things that we need to think about surrendering. Just a few. I got a piece of paper when this word came up, and I filled an A4 side of what we need to surrender. So don't worry, it is my last message, but I won't be going on till I leave. So I'll try not to go on too long. But I've just got a few things I think we need to talk about, and some of them you will have heard of before, but it's always good to recap. It's always good to rethink these things. And I want to right at the outset say, surrendering is not a one-off thing. Surrendering to Jesus is not a one-off thing because we're not perfect. I know I have to surrender regularly. I have to re-surrender, if you like, regularly, because I've taken things back. The first thing, obviously, we need to surrender, and it's a very starting point in our Christian faith, and if we are a Christian, we've done this, is to become a Christian. We need to start as surrendering our sin. Our sin needs to be surrendered. That is the key thing to our relationship with Jesus Christ. Romans 8 says, "For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will." So that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. So if we're still living in a sinful nature, we can never please God, and we won't have surrendered our lives to Him. That sin is right in the way. Absolutely stops us totally from surrendering. And you will recall in John chapter 3, which is well known, that Jesus told Nicodemus to be born again. You must be born again. And I looked at, and one of the translations in John chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life." So that is what he means by surrendering our lives, is to give our lives to Him and surrender our lives to Him through the Holy Spirit. And Romans 10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." You will be saved. That's the wonderful thing. We can surrender and we can get rid of this sinful nature by surrendering ourselves and our give faith to Jesus Christ and accepting that forgiveness He gives, repent of our sins and turn to Him and give that initial surrender to Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you've never done that, then I would urge you to really consider that. Talk to me afterwards, or if you want to, I think I put in the messenger this morning how you can become a Christian. There's a prayer there which invites you to pray if you're not a Christian. I don't know why I put that in there, but I was just prompted to put it in there. So it's there for obviously a reason. So that's the first step on surrendering. Surrendering is to surrender our sin. Now the second one you might find a little bit strange, and it's quite a difficult subject. We have to surrender, as Jesus said, we have to surrender our family. We have to surrender our family. You might think, oh, that's a bit tricky. In Luke chapter 9, people were asking him, said, I'll follow you. One verse says, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Now that's caused a lot of problems, that verse. And prior to that, somebody had asked him and said to him, "I've got to go back and sort out and sell my oxen and all that sort of stuff." And he made the same sort of comment. What Jesus is not saying there is you abandon your family. He's not saying you must abandon your family if you're going to follow me and surrender to me. With the family, he's saying you've got to look after them. And Paul said in 1 Timothy, it's a great name for a book, isn't it, Timothy? But those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than believers. And the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother. So there seems to be a bit of a dichotomy there. Jesus is saying one thing and other things are saying it there. But what I think what he's meaning there, and I've looked this up here, that even with our family, we have to put Jesus first. Our family mustn't get in the way of putting Jesus first, but we mustn't neglect our family. We still have to look after them. It means we can't have a foot in both camps. I'm going to say camp in both feet, but we can't have a foot in both camps. What it means is that we can't behave one way where we're in church and doing God's thing and go home and work and behave another way with our family. It's the same with work. We can't have a foot in church when we're at church, and when we go to work, we have a different persona and we act a different way. What he's saying there is if we surrender to Jesus, it's got to be number one priority in our lives. It's got to be a lifestyle. Everything we do has got to reflect that Jesus is our priority. As I say, it doesn't mean we neglect our family. I think it's often said, Jesus first, family second. Jesus first, family second. The problem is sometimes I think we mistake Jesus for church. And we put church first. And that's always a problem. We've got to be very careful we don't equate the two. Because sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of this, and I will tell you I have been, and I'm sorry about it. I have put church stuff before the family. Now I need to put Jesus first. And it's a trap. It's a trap for a lot of people. And I'm going to be blunt. It's a trap for churches. Churches feel, I think, often that pastors should put the church first rather than their family. The pastor must be there at every minute of the day and night, even if it means the expense of their family. I don't believe that's right. I believe the church needs to respect the pastor's family and his family time. And that is vital. Jesus first, but the family is second. Now, that doesn't mean that the pastor's got a right to neglect the church and people's issues. But I just would say, I believe that is something which all churches, I'm not saying this church, all churches have problems with. And people in churches. I've experienced it, and I'm sure anybody who's been a pastor will tell you it's exactly the same thing. But you've got to have that situation, and that it's pretty important that the church is aware of that situation. So what Jesus is saying here is, you have to put me first in everything you do. Even your family. You must make sure that when you're dealing with your family, when you're doing things in your family, you're doing what I want you to do in the family. It's putting me first in everything you do. You know, don't let your family stop you doing something because they don't like it. You must tell them why, but you must put Jesus first. Third thing I want to talk about is, and this is an important one, I believe, because it does stop this complete surrender, is our past. We need to surrender our past. Many, many people, and I've come across it over many years, have lots of hurts from the past. We all have hurts. There are always things, we don't live a life which we don't get hurt in some way. And some people won't forgive those hurts. And that unforgiveness hurts us, as well as the person who did it to us. Jesus said to Peter, forgive 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Now, by my calculation, that's about 490 times. But I think Jesus was giving an illustration, not, you know, you don't count up, well, I've forgiven you 490 times, so hard luck, no more. We just keep on going because that's what he's saying. We must forgive. Keep on forgiving. And those hurts need to be forgiven because they're hurting us. And we need to be released from those things. We need to surrender those things to God and to Jesus and the Holy Spirit and let him deal with them. Traumas, all the sorts of traumas which happened in our lives. People have had lots of traumas in their lives. And they will seriously affect us. I'm not trying to do Michael's job, but I'm sure he would agree. Traumas affect people's lives. They really do. I'm sure if you've been through a traumatic time, it can keep affecting your life. It comes back into your memory all the time. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, give them to me. I will take these burdens. I will take these problems from you. That's what it is, surrendering them. And when we surrender them to him, we don't have to carry them anymore. It's not like you're not like this anymore. Oh, you're able to walk upright and as though there's a big weight off your mind. Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5 said, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? It's a wonderful promise. If you have a worry, if you have a care, just say, God, I've got this problem. I've got this care. Would you please take it from me? Tell me what to do about it. Or you do it. You sort it out. I don't know whether you've done that sort of thing, but if you've got something which is worrying you, or you're thinking about this thing, or it can't get out of your mind, sit down and say, God, I'm struggling with this. What do I do? Please take it from me. And I can tell you what, he does. And you think, whew, that's better. I feel better now. I'll go and do something else. Do some more Pilates or something. You know, we'll do something. He feels so much better. Because God has taken that from you. Now, I know it sounds easy to do, but give it a go. It works. I know it works. I've seen it work in many people's lives. The theme verse of this year starts off and say, forget the former things. Forget the former things. It doesn't mean all the good things, but it's saying, don't dwell on those things of the past. Don't dwell on them. Behold, I am doing a new thing. And he will do a new thing in each one of us if we allow him to. It's the problem is we don't surrender the old things, we hang on to those, so there's not room for him to get the new thing in. We're so full up with all the old things, there's a little bit in the top, he's trying to push the new things into us, but it doesn't work. Get rid of the old things. It's like if you've got a full bottle of water, you can't get any more into it. If you pour it out, you can get new water into it. It's the same with Jesus, and same with the Holy Spirit. And I know, I've seen in many years, over many years, in many times when I've been ministering to people, these things crop up time and time and time again. And I've seen the Holy Spirit release them from these things and their lives changed. I can tell you in this church, I can't name them because it's confidential, but there's lots of people in this church who that has happened to them. We've been prayed for and the Holy Spirit has released them from these things. And they go around with a smile on their dial. And they've said, the first thing they say, I always say to them, how are you feeling? And the first thing these people say, which puts a smile on my dial, is, I feel so much lighter. That's what God can do if we allow him to do it. And I know there are many people here who are carrying things. And I believe Jesus can set you free. And he can do it this morning if that's what you want. The next thing I want to talk about is surrendering, and this is a thing which is very, very prevalent. Surrender our agendas. Surrender our agendas. Very difficult to do. Jesus has clearly said, God has clearly said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. And he went on basically to say, my ways are better and my thoughts are better than yours. And Matthew 16, Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is saying, give up your own way. Give it up. Take up your cross and follow me. Other translations say, deny yourself. And he's saying, deny yourself of everything. Give up everything. Give up all those things that you want to do. Take up your cross, which means doing his work, doing things his work, but be prepared to suffer for it. Be prepared whatever he wants you to do. Self-denial. Deny self and let God have his way. And quite often we won't give up our own agendas because we know best. We know how to do it. You know, we've got this brain. God's given this brain. We should use this brain. We can do all these things. We know what we should do. We know what God wants to do. We really do. And we're going to do it. You know, we're going to pray for it. We're going to do it. And a number of times I've heard people say, it's not happening. The devil's getting in the way. He's really attacking me on this. He's really stopping me on this. And I often think, okay. Have you ever thought that maybe it's not the devil? He's not that clever. He's not that clever. Greater is he that's in us, that's in the devil, in the world. The power we have with Jesus is far greater than the devil. If it's God's plan, it'll work. Stop and think sometimes, guys. If you're trying to do something and it's not working, stop and think and say, is it really what God wants me to do? Because maybe he's trying to say, hey guys, I don't want you to do this. And he's making us go around the mountain. We get back to here and say, still not working. Okay, go around again. Still not working. Go around again. Oh, you don't want me to do it. Ah, good. Click, the lights come on. Now do this instead. We've got to be really, really careful. It's not our agendas, it's God's agendas. And it's the same for us, it's the same in the church. We've got to be careful what we do, that it is God's way. Interesting thing, when I was preparing this, I was thinking that we are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, whatever the great commandment says. And the thought struck me, what is church? Church is the people getting together to do what God's commanded. So therefore, in my perhaps sometimes warped logic, says, if we're commanded to do it, the church's purpose is to go into the world and make disciples, preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of Jesus, teaching them all the things that Jesus did, seeing signs and wonders follow. That's the church's role. I think often churches go away from that and they think, we're doing a different thing. We should do it differently. Some churches actually run a business. I've read of churches which run businesses more or less, and they wonder why it's not happening. We come to church, I believe, in the morning here to meet together to encourage us. 1 Corinthians 14 says, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. And that's not just a prophet. That's the prophecy is speaking what God's saying, the message which God's got. I like to say it means lift up, build up and cheer up. That's what God's word should be. Lifting up, building up and cheering up. And that's something which he wants us to do. And as a church, we need to make sure we're fulfilling God's agenda. As I said, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, teaching them, etc., etc. If you read the Bible, that's precisely what the Acts church did. And see what happened there. Just remember, guys, it's his church, not ours. It's God's church, not ours. It's his way, not ours. And here's another quote which I saw, which is quite a challenging quote. Without total surrender, we attempt to work for God instead of letting God work through us. We must simply put aside our self-interest and let God's will unfold around us. It's quite a challenging statement. But I believe that's what it means to surrender, total surrender. Let's say there are many, many other things which I could talk about surrendering. But I believe the fundamental issue is we are called to surrender everything. We sing a song sometimes, I surrender all. We sung one this morning, with all I am. That's Jesus telling us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior of the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And in Ezekiel 36, he says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. He's saying there he'll give us new attitudes, new goals, new ideals, new opinions, new desires, new ideas, and a new passion for Jesus. That's his promise to us if we totally surrender. And I use the word totally. You might say, well, it's all very well to say all these things, but how do we do it? How do we do it? I don't think it's going to be any surprise to you if I tell you what I'm going to say. You probably know what I'm going to say now. I think it's really quite simple. And I think we shouldn't complicate it. Ephesians 5:18 says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means don't live the world's way, but live God's way. And says, since we are living by the Spirit in Galatians, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We keep saying, what is your will? I want to find out God's will for my life. God's will for our life is simple. Live and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. That's just simple. We can complicate it by trying to find out, show me your will. His will is live and walk in the power of the Spirit, and I will take you where I need you to go. That comes when we totally surrender. We have to totally surrender if we're going to be the Christian that God wants us to be. Jesus said, I can do nothing on my own. He relied on Jesus. He relied on his Father. We need to dare to be different, guys. It's time to dare to be different. As a surrendered Christian. As a surrendered Christian. Fully, totally surrendered Christian. As I was preparing this, I was just pondering and thinking, why has God told me to speak this? And he came back with a simple answer. Because he loves us. Because he loves us, he wants the best relationship with him that we can have. And I'm not speaking this morning just to challenge everybody here with something that God hasn't challenged me with. I just feel led this morning that you might have heard this story before, but I feel I should share it with you this morning. I don't very often share these sort of things. Monday night, I woke up in the middle of the night with two songs on my mind. I don't normally wake up in the middle of the night with two songs on my mind. I wake up for other things, but not for songs on my mind. And I thought, oh, okay, what's that about? And I went back to sleep. I woke up in the morning, and the songs came on my mind again. And I thought, okay, this must be a bit important. I better listen to what you're saying. So I immediately emailed Rebecca, who I didn't realize Mia was doing it on Sunday. And I said, can we sing This Is My Desire and With All I Am? When you look at that song that we sung, This Is My Desire, I don't know whether you noticed the words you were singing. I don't know whether you noticed them. If you didn't, I'm going to repeat them in a minute, and then you might you might take a deep breath. The reason I'm using that, I'm speaking these words, is because you've probably heard this, I think you might have heard this story before. Many years ago, I love leading worship, and I've done it for about 25 years. I used to lead it very regularly, and in the church I was in at that time, we had a conference in Canberra. And we went up to this conference, and I was leading the worship in the conference. And after we had a morning session, we had lunch. And after lunch, the pastor came up to me and said, can you just sing a couple of songs to take us into the second session? I said, yeah, okay, fine. So I picked two songs. And the second one was This Is My Desire. And we sung the first one, went through that. We sung the second one. We started singing the second one. I got through it once. And as we did this morning, I went back to the beginning and I started singing it again. And as I started singing the verse, it was almost God said to me, do you know what you're singing and do you mean it? Now, it's a little bit tricky when you're playing the keyboard and singing and God's talking to you, trying to answer him. It can get a bit confusing. Anyway, I thought, oh, and I went on, I got through the chorus, and I went back and repeated the chorus again. And right at the start of the chorus, I really felt God said to me, when you sing this, do you really mean it? And I knew the words off by heart, obviously. And I said to him, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Now, I just managed to get through the chorus. I could hardly, because as I was singing those words, I had tears pouring down my face because I felt God's love pouring into my heart in a way I've never felt before. And I just managed to catch the pastor's eye and say, like this quickly, and she fortunately took over. And as I finished that song, I just fell on my knees in total surrender to God. And it made such a difference in my life. That was about 20 years ago. I'd been a Christian for 73 years, or have been. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit 26 years ago. But 20 years ago, God challenged me in that way to say, are you really totally surrendered to me? And let me just quote the verse, that song to you. It starts off with, this is my desire to honor you. Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. That's an amazing statement of praise to God in itself. And then comes the challenge. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. That's saying, I'm giving you everything, God. You sang that this morning. Did it come from here or here? Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. That means you are number uno, numero uno, number one. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Now, my little mind yesterday was working and saying, how many breaths do we take in a day? Now, I found out that if you are just sitting resting, you will actually take 26,000 breaths in a day. And don't forget, every moment you're awake, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that's 16 hours. So for 26,000 breaths and 18 hours a day, you're saying, I live for you alone. That means every single thing you do, we do, we are living for God. And it says, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. That is saying everything. Do everything you want. Have your way. That is a powerful song. And I believe that sums up what it means for total surrender. It means I'm surrendering everything to you. Does it mean your life is perfect? No. No, it doesn't. But what it means is God is in control. And if you're willing to let him, he will help you through all the problems you have. He will help you through those things. He will take you through them. And that's what it means to be totally surrendered, I believe, to God. And I believe the challenge which God is placing on my heart, again, as I said, I have to keep surrendering because I slip back, but I have to keep surrendering. And I believe the challenge he's presenting me and everybody and us all here this morning. If you haven't done it, totally surrender this morning. If you have done it and you've slipped back, then tell him you surrender, totally surrender again. Make Jesus the number one priority in your life. Be set free from everything that is coming against you. Be set free from all those things of the past. Live that abundant life which Jesus wants. You know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let him empower you to do his work. It's so much easier when you let God have control and do it. Don't add Jesus to your lifestyle. Let him be your lifestyle. Jesus wants to be your lifestyle. And live it in his power and love. See your lives changed. See them renewed. See a new joy in your step. The burden's gone off you. Everybody says, glass half full or glass half empty. No, not glass half full. Glass full. That's what we want in Jesus, a full life. Let him have your way. Let us let him have his way in our lives this morning as we totally surrender. Let's pray. I believe God is challenging us this morning. I believe he is saying, are you willing to totally surrender? Are you willing to totally resurrender if you've already done it? Do you want to get rid of all those things which are holding you back? Do you want to get rid of all those things which have from the past which are stopping you? Don't be afraid. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He wants the best for you. He wants a life of abundance for you. He wants to see you living that wonderful, wonderful life which only He can bring when we are totally surrendered to Him. I'm just going to say the words of that song, the verse of that song. As I say, I'm going to say it. If you feel you want to totally surrender this morning, you don't have to say it out loud, but at the end of it say, "Yes, Lord, I want that, and I surrender totally." You don't have to say it out loud. You can if you want to. But I'm going to say it now. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I pray that prayer from my heart now, in Jesus' name, and surrender totally to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for taking control of my life. Help me to live the life now in total surrender. In Jesus' name. And if you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you need to talk to me afterwards or pray, get prayer afterwards, to get rid of any of these things I was talking about, past hurts, traumas, anything, anything you want to talk about, or become a Christian, or even go further in what I've been saying this morning, I just invite you to stay behind afterwards. And just, I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to see you enter into that new life. Walk out of here with your head held high and the burdens gone from your back. Because God can do it. God is a God of power and a God of love. And He wants you to live that abundant life in Jesus, totally surrendered. So, Father, I just ask that you'll take any fear away this morning, fear of total surrender, and just allow you in your love to come, set us free, release us from all those things, and help us to live that abundant life through the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.